God, there are so many podcasts to listen to. I'm having like one of those Netflix indecision moments. What do you think I should listen to?
Oh, you definitely need to listen to nerdfunnel.com.
But where does he listen to that?
Nerdfunnel.com, or hit us up on any of our social media channels. I mean, hit it up on youtube.com/nerdfunnel. Honestly,
could I find you on like facebook.com/nerdfunnel?
Any.com/nerdfunnel, you'll probably fucking find us. Or at nerdfunnel if you're like a Twitter or Instagram dude.
Okay.
And it's so much fun at fucking nerdfunnel.com. You will find articles and podcasts and all sorts of stuff that will funnel right into your more than willing ear holes and honestly, your eye holes at this point.
Awesome, because I got really tired of scrolling through all these podcasts.
Well, I'm not just going to go onto youtube.com/nerdfunnel and just have something funnel into my eye hole, am I?
What's wrong with getting something shoved into your eye hole? There's plenty of Japanese girls who are really into it.
You guys, I just went to nerdfunnel.com and I liked what was going in my eye hole. Oh, I think I'm going to check out what's going to go in my ear hole.
So sexy. So sexy.
That's weird, isn't it? Am
no.
Well, let's go ahead and find out what's coming in my ear hole right now. Hey guys, you know that that Darth Vader is Luke's father?
Whoa, spoiler alert!
Yeah. Did you know that the human head weighs 8 pounds?
Spoilers!
Did you know that Snape kills Dumbledore?
Ah!
Did you know that if you listen to our cast, you might get something spoiled? Just a warning, wanted to give you a heads up. So, Steven, I know your head just exploded, I'm sorry.
Do you want spoilers? You will.
Hey, Nerd Funnelers, we're back. You're listening to Nerd Funnel, where we take all the nerd news of the world and funnel it into your more than willing ear holes. I'm Bob Shui, and with me tonight is Ivan.
And Gage.
And Fong.
That's what she said.
And our buddy, Juan.
Yo.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Doing all right, man.
Welcome to the cast.
Thank you. Been a long time coming.
Yeah, as a new Nerd Funneler. Actually, you may know him. He is the... The older brother of another occasional guest on the cast, Jorge.
Don't forget better looking.
Better looking.
Hashtag tasty.
Hashtag tasty.
Yum yum.
So anyway, this week was E3 in LA Convention Center. Big news coming out of the gaming world all around. Lots of things to talk about. But first, I want to talk a little bit about Anton Yelchin, who we're going to timestamp this cast, but we lost him today. He was in an unfortunate auto accident. I believe he got crushed by his own vehicle this morning in L.A. So our thoughts and prayers go out to he and his family and his friends. And sad day for Star Trek fans and for all fans of his work. I mean, he really knocked it out of the park as Chekhov in
and he was actually Russian.
Yeah, actually Russian.
Like
pulled it off in Star Trek, pulled off all of Chekhov's mannerisms, but made it really his own role.
Oh, hell yeah.
And so he also what was the other what was the movie he was in?
Terminator?
He was in Terminator.
Terminator Salvation.
Salvation.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked him in that better than Christian Bale. He seemed
a lot of people were better than Christian Bale in that movie.
I know, especially to the cast on set. Apparently, I mean,
oh, yeah. Wow.
Remember that whole fiasco with Christian Bale? They're walking fucking the front of the camera.
I'm a fucking professional.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess like someone told me the person he was yelling at was like someone who's influential, but their son. Who basically just got the job because he was so-and-so's son.
Oh, nepotism.
Nepotism.
Yeah, and then he was screwing up, like, basic stuff. And then I guess that was the last straw for him.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the only occasion that Christian Bale came off as being a douche.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
This might have been a reoccurring role for him.
That's okay, though, because He delivers performances
except for the last Batman.
Oh, is he IRL Patrick Bateman?
What was the movie that that Anton Yelchin was in?
Charlie Bartlett.
Charlie Bartlett. Yeah.
Yeah, that's for our indie darlings out there.
For our indie darlings, that was a good film too.
Like, I've actually never seen it. Like him and Robert Downey Jr. are supposedly like really good together.
I heard. You know, in Antonio, he really seems like he was a good just person. Like,
yeah,
to hang around.
He was bright, and you could obviously see that this kid was like talented.
Actually,
only 27. Yeah, he's your age, Fawn.
I know. And he was definitely on the rise. Yeah. He started movie roles.
He had places
stuff.
To go. And, you know, even if they did continue on with the Star Trek and the JJ-verse going forward, or if they had recast him, he still would have been...
Do you think they're going to recast him? Or
I mean, if they go forward with the JJ-verse. I mean, we do have the new show coming out in... Paramount's releasing the new show in next
year.
Next February? March? Next March.
Already
for the new Star Trek, yeah. So it's gonna be based in the Prime universe, so it won't be JJ. But you know, if they make another film, you know, to keep the JJ verse going, they're gonna have to recast him. I mean, you can't have Star Trek without
you can't
Chekhov.
Not have fucking Chekhov.
You need to have a Chekhov.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, unless you know, maybe they should just leave the chair empty and be like, you know what, to honor him. I don't know.
You think they would like?
That'd be a nice nod.
I mean, they need someone to steer the ship, but. Yeah. I mean, maybe just not Chekhov. Maybe
I don't know how they would do it.
They could bring in another character, another Star Trek character that was kind of a side character.
Who do you reckon?
Like from the original series?
Yeah.
They could bring up...
what's her face?
Nurse Chapel. She's a
nurse. The boat... Bosun. Not the Bosun.
Yeoman Janice Rand.
Yeoman, yes.
Yeah. They could do... what was the guy's name? He was the guy that became the god being in the original series. He got possessed by a god when they touched the barrier at the end of the galaxy.
Wait, are we talking about Star Trek the movie?
No, the original series. Gary Mitchell. They could make Gary Mitchell. Star Trek original series fans will know that. But anyway, yeah.
The circumstances of his death were like really like freaky too.
Yeah, they apparently crushed by his own car. We're not quite sure exactly what the details are. They're still coming out as the day goes on. But
I caught this article on Kotaku that said that the model of Jeep Cherokee that he had actually had a recall because it had some issues of like rolling backwards.
Rolling? Oh crap! Oh, there you go.
So that's even like scarier.
I'm sure there'll be details coming out in the following days and weeks. But for right now, we just you know, kind of a somber day on the Star Trek universe and for the Hollywood, the Hollywood and movie industry today for getting an actor taken so young. So, but anyway, another. Industry news and entertainment news. We had E3 this week, and there was a whole bunch of stuff coming out. And one of the things related to Star Trek that did come out that we saw trailers for today was Bridge Commander, which is a VR installment.
VR was really taking over the con, dude.
VR. We'll talk a lot about VR, but Bridge Commander looked amazing. And in the trailer, they had LeVar Burton, Geordi LaForge. Jerry Ryan, 7-9, Carl Urban, who was Dr. McCoy in the new JJ-verse, playing a demo of Bridge Commander, and it looked fun.
They looked like they were actually having fun.
But
like
mostly LeVar Burton.
Mostly Geordi.
Mostly Geordi.
But don't take my word for it.
But, you know, I mean, it was really kind of interesting to see him kind of... he was acting like... I mean, he was doing his role... in the actual while actually playing the game, and that was something that really drew me to it because it really kind of hyped up the co-op couch co-op aspect of gaming, which I miss because so much of the elements of cooperative stuff has moved online, and you don't get that personal interaction like in a room where you can be physical. Like they were up and moving around and using the little touchpad thingies on their fingers to
we need that.
Yeah, and so you can be a crew in like in one room and you have this, you know, really social experience with it and a physical experience because you're moving around, you're up, you're looking.
That's right. I want to talk trash to your face.
I know, right? I don't want to do it over a microphone. I want to get up and slap you in your face. Knock that VR headset, that $800 VR headset right off your face. Slap it down. The VR the interface looks really cool. So there's you can be an engineering command or science or helm
weapons and engineering. Oh, you already said engineering.
And so there's lots of different like interfaces. And so on the screen you've actually got all these these, you know, the interface commands from the movies, like all the pads and the buttons. And
like, it looks like it's the design philosophy between these ships is looks like it's being taken from the JJ-verse.
Yeah, it's JJ-verse. I mean, the ship is they called it the Aegis, which and it had an NX prefix on the number, which means that it's an experimental ship. So it's an Aegis class ship. So it's a new ship that kind of looks like the Enterprise, but it's different design.
Actually, it looks closer to like Voyager.
Yeah, it's got the nacelles are out a little farther to the side, a little lower and swept back, a little more streamlined looking. But it looks like a lot of fun, like just being able to do co-op and then just being immersed in that world and being able to play with all the buttons and the controls. Because I remember growing up watching Star Trek, I wanted to push all the buttons and have all the little gadgets and gizmos and stuff that.
For sure.
And then just to be able to like real time like talk shit to your crewmates, like that's going to be fun. Like I think that's the best part. Like even more so than like the immersive environment is that it's a cooperative immersive environment. So like you're there with your buddies right there all the time, and I think that's kind of cool.
What would you play?
I would be probably either Helm or Science.
Why Helm or Science?
Well, I like driving stuff. I like plotting courses. Like one of the interfaces they show was like plotting the warp directions, like plotting the direction of the ship, and I think that looked kind of cool. I like driving the ship. It's pretty dope. What about you?
I honestly would like to have a seat in the captain's chair. See what that's like.
You got the voice down.
You know who's probably going to end up taking the chair?
Who's that?
Steven. Yeah. He's just be like, no, fuck that. I'm sitting down.
Oh man, the shenanigans we'll get into having popular opinions.
Like,
right?
There's gonna be like mutiny on the bridge.
I know, seriously, we're gonna take it over.
It's like, no, fuck that. We're gonna fight these fucking Klingons. And we're like, they've done nothing.
No,
there's
like, no
aggression.
They had wrinkly foreheads. That's enough. What about you, Juan?
Great thing about working in the mess hall.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to do any of that. You guys wanna get a fight? That's fine. I'm gonna just hang down there. Being Mexican, it fits me just fine.
What if they have a Guinan character down in the lounge, the 10-4 lounge? You want to be a bartender?
Exactly. You get to drink and you get to talk shit to people, giving them advice about whatever.
Yeah.
And then you don't even actually got to do anything.
And then you can virtually make drinks while at the same time actually drinking.
Mm.
That'd be awesome. Mm. What about you, Fong?
I would say either like weapons or engineering.
Nice.
Engineering because I just like... I've always been attracted to science and engineering, but I feel like I would screw it up because, like, I've failed, like, every science class I've ever had.
So this is your virtual reality attempt at scientific redemption?
Yeah.
Maybe you should stop coming to the mess hall and getting drunk.
or, you know, weapons, because I always like playing the tank in, like, any first-person shooter, so...
So
quick,
you want
quick correction.
Make things go boom. Yeah,
quick correction,
yeah.
It's actually called Bridge Crew, not Bridge Commander.
Bridge Crew, sorry.
Bridge Commander is actually another Star Trek game from 2007.
I see.
That was my bad.
All right, our bad. VR version of Star Trek is Bridge Crew. Because you're a crew. Like, it's a more cooperative and immersive together. So looking forward to that one. VR also taking a big sweep across the gaming world as Sony... they had a new Final Fantasy stuff to show us, but their big lead-in for the new Final Fantasy 15, which comes out September 30th, was their VR element. So now I know I'm a huge Final Fantasy, and it's no secret on this cast that I'm a huge Final Fantasy fanboy. Juan is not. He's never been a huge...
No, I like the graphics, but the storyline, the way that it plays as an RPG has never appealed to me. So, as an adult suffering from onset ADD, fighting the same character like 20 times in a row, trying to level up.
Or you don't like the grinding process?
I didn't like the grinding process. But that's the cool thing about this game. So, you watched the trailer. What'd you think of the trailer?
I thought the trailer looked amazing. I feel that I might even engage.
Engage. All right. Well, the thing is it's more of an immersive like free to explore world, so it's not so directive. So you can, there's lots of optional things to do. You can raise chocobos and do mechanics. You can build weapons. You can explore the world. There's no real reason for just having to sit there and grind all the time. You don't have to. Like you ever played GTA San Andreas?
Okay. Yeah.
Or any of the GTAs. It's more like that.
I spend all day just stealing cars.
Yeah, I spend all
day... Just like you do in real life.
I spend all day driving around listening to, like, San Andreas.
Is that a Mexican joke? I believe it's an accurate joke.
Okay. I just drove around, stealing cars and listening to Snoop Dogg and in GTA San Andreas.
I like the fact that you get to sit in a car and hang out in VR. Did we talk about the VR part? You can just hang out in VR and just stare at your driver Sid all day.
Oh yeah, and in the Final Fantasy, you can just stare at your mechanic Sid's voluptuous
curves.
Curves that apparently you wear bikinis in this world to work on cars.
Yes,
now.
To work on cars.
But
once again, they look nothing like that.
This is the weird thing, though.
This is a mechanic body right here. You see, this is what you normally get.
They can't see that.
It's a mechanic.
For all they know, you could also be wearing
amazing.
A crop top.
He's rocking the six pack right now, ladies. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, it's an immersive world. We got to see new footage of the summons, Titan, Leviathan, Rama. We got to see their flying car. The graphics look amazing. Expansive
really
worlds. Totally immersive. Like, it's like you're saying, Ivan, it's a world like you look like you want to live in it.
Oh, dude, this world like looks so much more alive and vibrant and lived in, and like everything about this makes I've never really played a Final Fantasy game because it, like, you know,
too grindy.
It seems tedious.
It seems tedious.
Yeah, I can understand that.
But
there,
like,
are some times that it is tedious.
But there's like a mythos to this one,
mm-hmm.
more so than the other ones that I think would seem really interesting to me.
Well, you said it seemed lived in, and the developers have been living in it for almost a decade now because they've been putting it off for so long.
Why they keep putting out crappy online versions of Final Fantasy?
Well, 14. The first 14 was bad, and then they relaunched it, and it was decent. But yeah,
now you're talking about the first 14 Final Fantasy.
For the first 14, you know, I totally agree.
Final Fantasy 14, and then 13 series are just not that great. I didn't like that much. But you're right. I totally understand that, and I can empathize with the grindiness and some of the plots, and the directness is not fun. But this, they looked like they really took some time to seriously change up the variety of the gameplay and the expansiveness of the world, because there's so many different elements. Like the fighting elements are more of like a third person character action game,
which I would enjoy.
Yeah, like more like Castlevania or Kingdom Hearts, or whereas a little more fast paced, but still having the RPG elements of like building weapons and characters and leveling up and allocating points
and
things like that.
And the real-time battling, that looks really cool.
The real-time battling, good point, Fong. Real-time battling, and then the warp system where they can kind of teleport around the battle. And this is where the VR thing looks really cool, is because you can play as Prompto, who is one of the K-pop boy band. Noctis is the leader, so he'd be like the Justin Timberlake. And so I guess Prompto would be more of the Joey Fatone, although not as fat, I guess.
Or desperate for attention.
Or desperate for attention.
Or in Rogue Game commercials.
If he's wearing the VR goggles, maybe he is desperate
maybe
for
he is
attention.
For a little, maybe a little bit.
He is Joey Fat One.
Man.
But to warp from point to point in a battle from a first-person perspective, and to see your other characters doing that when you play the regular game from a third-person perspective is amazing. I think that's a really cool, innovative way to do gameplay.
Yeah, and they do it by, like, you stare at a point on the field. And
yeah, and then it gets a little fuzzy and it draws you in, and all of a sudden, boom,
you're there. I have to say, I really liked the VR element in that because, like, it didn't seem gimmicky. It didn't seem like they used it because the technology existed, like, with what they did for, Uncharted, the DS version, when they had the touch screen, and then like you would discover artifacts, and it would be like, oh, you can't seem to read the inscription on the artifact. Why don't you dust that off? And it was like, I could just dust stuff off in my own house. Like, why would I dust stuff off in the game? Like, it was done.
Oh, man.
Like, there was no point to it. Like, yes, there's a touch screen now, but you don't have to use it if there's no point.
Yeah, good point. You know, it's like, virtual dusting. I can't wait.
Clean your house. I'm like, no, I don't do that in real life. Why?
Yeah, why do you think my house is a mess?
You know, you guys say that, but as we speak, Second Life is still one of the highest grossing video games ever.
That's true.
Well, I don't play it because I don't clean my house. No, that's not true. I do clean my house.
Why do you need a Second Life? One life's enough. One life's hard enough. Do we need a second one?
Yeah, I don't need a second house to clean.
I don't need a second house to clean.
The first one, so that's what the second one's for.
But yeah, that is
depressingly accurate.
But yeah, you're right. The warp mechanic seems to grow organically out of the technology, yes. And they kind of work together that way. But it's shocking to me. Like if Juan is impressed and it looks to be, engaged,
I mean, for what it's worth, the graphics themselves they're just amazing.
Oh, yeah, the graphics gorgeous. Are just point on. So this is going to be a cross platform release. It's going to be on PC and Xbox and Sony as well, I think. So. There should be some amazing graphical quality to it, especially if you're playing it on PC, or if you're going to be playing it, I don't know if they're going to have it on Xbox when Xbox launches their Scorpius, which was another big reveal this year at E3, Project Scorpius, which is their next console. So we had the next console teaser of what the Xbox can do. It's going to be like a 8-core, 6-teraflop, ridiculous powered machine.
Ludicrous
power. But in support of VR, because a lot of the new consoles have to be powerful enough to render 4K and operate at speeds that will facilitate all that VR stuff. Because we saw it looking really, really great in the promos, but if we got all that stuff back to our places and try to run them on our machines, it'd probably look like crap. We'd probably be like stopping midway through the warp and like hanging.
Yeah, make sure that you upgrade your internet services for this.
Yeah, right.
You might have some serious issues if you're running at a 15.
Yeah. So until we know like what the RAM is inside the Scorpius and what it's clocked at and just kind of some more specs. Like it says eight core and 6 teraflops. There are GeForce graphics cards that run 7 teraflops now, but depending on what RAM you're using, don't measure up. So it just depends. So just like I'm hype. It's gonna be more powerful, but you know, just gotta make sure that they've got the rest of the infrastructure in place to back it up. They're also Xbox is also releasing Xbox Slim, like a 40% smaller Xbox,
but it's like 60% faster or something.
It's supposed to handle HDR and 4K.
Mm. Why do I want a smaller box? I want the bigger box so when people come to my house, I can show them the big ass box I got.
Yeah.
How are they supposed to know it's there?
Well, I mean, because you're going to start like stacking all the big ass boxes
with the other
of all the shit that they convince you to buy, like the PS4 Slim, your Xbox Slim, your
I don't
your
suffer from that. I will toss it out
slam.
Real quick.
Well, it just seems it's
that's right.
Yeah, that one.
It just seems like a poor time to like advertise that too, because it's like, well,
they're going to compete with themselves.
They're going to compete with themselves. Like,
well, no, they do that every cycle though. Every new machine, they come out with a new slim version.
Yeah. Well, I think it's to get the people on board that are not on board with the current gen.
Right.
And then
so they can milk it before they bring out the next gen.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, they are competing with themselves. I mean, because the only real difference, I mean, the Xbox Slim is going to be optimized for 4K and HDR output, but it's not going to be like... It's not going to be the full experience of 4K and HDR because it's not doesn't have enough power yet, and it's going to be 40% smaller, and that's pretty much the only difference. And the price point's a little—it's like $300, $380, something like that. Mm. So maybe a little.
So
bit,
like $20 cheaper.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just seems like a poor time to. Well, maybe it's good. Maybe it's good they're trying to get squeeze the last out of the last generation before they go into the next this Xbox Scorpius.
Why wouldn't I just wait a couple of months for the new one?
Well, Xbox Scorpius is not going to be until next year. I've never really been an Xbox person. I never had an Xbox. So I see the Xbox chilling over there.
I have an Xbox at the 360, but that's only because our ex-roommate owed my fiancé and I collectively $500, and he didn't have it, so we repossessed
You repoed his Xbox.
And a couch.
And all the games. Yeah, and his two couches.
Awesome.
Also, earlier, I realized that everyone probably thinks I'm a moron now. That Uncharted game was for the PSP, not the DS.
Okay, yeah.
Because that makes more sense. And yeah, so I guess
good catch.
Good thing you mentioned it because we're probably getting all these angry emails right
now.
People are Facebooking like, I can't believe she said Uncharted was on the DS.
Well, I didn't even know what you were talking about, but now you've let me know, and so now I think less of you for it.
Okay.
I thought it was pretty good what you said, but Now you correct yourself, and now I don't.
But yeah, I guess they were trying to be like the DS, where it was like, we have a touchscreen too.
I like how this like whole this whole episode has been about like redactions.
Well, redactions, taking things back.
It sucks because I'm the only girl, and then there's just more pressure on me because girls can't play video games. And
that's true, though.
Whatever. Wow.
Alright, no, are you kidding? She was doing the best Nexcom until I killed her.
That's terrible. That's terrible. I hate stereotypes. Stereotypes are the worst. I don't know whoever started this fucking rumor that Mexicans are hard workers, because I'm not. Okay? I will call in sick for an interview. I'm just playing. My mom will call.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, you
want
to go? I'll challenge you to some silent scope right now.
Oh, nice.
And I'll challenge you to science.
I'm just kidding.
Is this how Nerd Duel start?
Yep, pretty much.
It's Nerd a running. I feel like it's a running joke at this point.
Of what?
So, Ivan is now showing me a Artemis spaceship bridge simulator on Steam.
I wanted to just touch on Bridge Crew real quick because since we're all kind of like excited to play it.
Yeah.
I remember reading an article, and I've been trying to find it this whole time. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's actually based on a game from 2012 called Artemis Spaceship Bridge Simulator. And you can find it on Steam for like $7.
That's been on constantly on my like suggestion list. Like to get like Steam keeps trying to force this game on me. Is it fun?
I have no idea. All right. I just read
$7 though. Wait,
yeah, but
very
like
positive reviews.
Yeah.
We could fucking play this now, is what I'm saying.
Maybe we throw it together. Yeah, let's maybe give it a shot.
Yeah, but that's what all I wanted to show you.
No, you know what? It's in my wish list on Steam.
Ooh,
so
girl.
I'll put. I mean, if it's $7, why not?
We just get Steven back. We've got ourselves a
crew.
No, I guess we don't. We need six people.
Assemble the crew.
We get Manny.
We get Manny, and we get Steven. And
the
we
best
get
part about having Manny, and I can say this shit because he's not here.
Yeah,
is that he'll give all like the drama. On the bridge because he can't make a decision.
I know.
Oh, you could just shit.
Shut him down.
Throwing back to XCOM.
Ivan,
is he right? Is he right?
It seems very accurate what he just stated.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Manny is like a super great individual.
I was going to say, Manny's not awesome, here, but he can listen to this podcast.
No, Juan and Manny and I go way back. So like, Juan knows how indecisive this guy is.
Whatever he chooses, immediately he regrets it.
He makes us go back. Like, remember the checking the locked car doors?
Yes,
locked car. Like for
in the middle of the desert, right?
What's that?
Was this the one? Oh,
is this when he killed his spirit animal?
Yeah. Oh no, that was a different time. But no,
you guys spend a lot of time in the desert.
We do actually. It's our summer tradition. We go every year to the desert. For vacation.
Maybe we'll
there's a lot less judging eyes out in the desert.
Yeah, yeah. And I bet a lot more butt sex. Mm. I'm sorry. That's not what I meant. There's, I meant manly bonding.
Manly bonding. There's 150% more manly bonding.
I detect a little bit of jealousy in his tone right there.
Yeah. Jealousy.
You
does
detect?
Your crotch bond with his butt?
Underneath the stars, under the Milky Way tonight, girl.
We're going to have to craft some of that male bonding in our Final Fantasy crafting.
I know, right? It's our Final Fantasy 15. We just drive out to the desert like a
right,
bunch of dudes.
Right.
And we camp.
No VR goggles necessary. I'm just going to stare at Bobby the whole way.
It's our real...
I want to warp to your butt.
It's our real...
I'm going to go deep space.
Juan just warps right in there. Just warps right in there. No, he doesn't do VR. He does BR, butt ramming.
But reality.
Oh no, it's actually kind of our real life Final Fantasy trip. We drive out there, we go under, we hike around, we do, you know, we bring weapons, we bring swords.
Oh, that really? Sounds like so much fun. I am legitimately jealous. I do
yeah,
want to go.
It's a lot of fun. We've been
awesome.
Doing it 16 years now.
Every been a long
year,
time.
Every year for 16 years.
What kind of weapons? Like
swords. Like swords and knives, like actual swords and knives.
Wow.
And we hike out in the desert and just
fight
and like chop shit up. Just be boys for a while, you know. Just a bunch of guys messing around.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of a bunch of guys messing around, let's talk about
BR.
Talk about the K-pop crew.
No, let's talk about the K-pop crew. No, they really do. They really do look like K-pop. No, let's talk about some of the Battlefield 1 games. A bunch of guys messing around on the battlefield.
You mean in trenches?
In trenches.
But not in trenches.
That was a
no,
very
not
forced
no, not,
segue.
Not in butt trenches. In actual trenches. Battlefield 1 made a nice debut. And so there, Battlefield, last one, Battlefield, I don't know if anybody played 3, but I was not too impressed with 3. I didn't play much of it.
And then the one after that was Cops and Robbers.
Yeah, basically. So they've kind of rebooted the series again. A lot of reboots, a lot of rehashing going on.
A lot of these, like, anniversaries going on.
Yeah, like 20 years on, and they're, like, bringing things back.
Because
like,
they have the technology now to do it.
They're rebooting Battlefield. They're rebooting Resident Evil, kind of, thematically, which we'll get to in a minute.
Kojima's rebooting himself.
Kojima's rebooting himself at his new production company, which we'll get to in a minute. Zelda's kind of going back to its roots, which we'll get to in a minute. We're going to get to Zelda. But Battlefield 1 is World War I era, which is not something you see too much of.
I don't think it's ever been done in a, like,
in a AAA release.
AAA high-budget release. Like, you always see it on, like, you know, over-the-top RTS.
Yeah.
Or indie games and stuff.
Not even really. Like, other than... all I can think of is, like...
Wait, what was Valiant Hearts?
Valiant Hearts.
Yeah, that was World War I.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't play Valiant Hearts. Was it good?
It was really good game.
Really well written.
Okay, cool. But this one looks super awesome. So you got blimp warfare. You've got like the old school tank warfare. You've got the
fly biplanes and shoot down zeppelins and shit. It looks, what the fuck?
It looks really awesome. There was some desert tank warfare, like the original.
Yeah, like, then you can be on horseback and like do the
cavalry
great train,
stuff, like
great train robbery and shit. I was like,
they really got the landscape looking good too, like on the Somme and like the French and the German village like landscape. It looked really good.
I'm not incredibly excited for it, but at the same time, it's like, this is uncharted territory for like first person like gameplay, so now people can kind of appreciate how shitty that war really was.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not a huge FPS person. I don't play, my favorite FPS is Metroid Prime, but I when I do play FPSs, it's for the ambiance. It's not for like the tactical shootiness of it or building the best gun. It's for how immersive I feel. So like BioShock or like the BioShock series, or there's a couple good ones out there like Soma, like some of the more indie ones. But
Soma.
Yeah, ever played Soma?
No.
Oh, I'll show it to
is
you.
Is that
later.
An MMO?
No, it's an FPS kind of. Tricky, like
an MMO FPS.
Or no, it's one player, or like, you know, like Dead Space or things like that.
Dead Space.
But I like them; they're fun. But like, I play them for when I do play them, it's for ambiance. So when they nail like the feel of an era or a time, that makes more. I don't really care about like how sensitive the gameplay is or like what kind of guns I'm using. Like, I just want to be in that world.
Do you guys feel like you're going to be young Indiana Jones?
Oh, that'd be, kind of cool.
Do you remember that show?
Yeah.
Young Indiana Jones?
Oh, I feel like Ivan should hurry up and get this game so I can come over to his house and play it.
Yeah.
Who?
You.
Me?
Yes.
That's right, you.
Did you say my name?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Ivan. I mean, is it not?
You called me something else earlier.
Oh,
you called me Steven.
But that's because, you know.
That's because we all look alike.
Exactly. I mean, I wasn't going to say
except
it,
except I'm better looking.
I'm glad you
and by me, I mean Steven.
So, Battlefield 1 on the horizon, looking pretty good.
Not bad.
I'm stoked about it. Another big kind of along the whole reboot rehash kind of thing is that Resident Evil 7 is coming out next year,
aka Capcom PT.
Aka Capcom PT. Literally, they took a lot of the thematics from the canceled PT thing and ported it over. They're getting back to their original Resident Evil 1 kind of very isolating. Because the most recent Resident Evils have all been like more along the lines of the movie. They're like these tactical combat shooters that have like hordes of zombies, and it's lost its very kind of intimate horror feel for more of like an action, like zombie movie feel.
I distinctly remember you and Hort playing that at midnight or 1 a.m. with no lights anywhere.
Yeah,
and me being scared shitless.
Yeah, so that's what they're trying to get back to, because now Resident Evil 6 was not that scary.
Have any of them been really scary since 4?
Not really. They had Umbrella Tactics and Umbrella Corps, which were basically FPSs that were skinned with Resident Evil elements.
I feel like...
they kind of lost their way a bit.
I want to put this out there to you guys. I don't know how much you guys played Resident Evil, but I feel like it lost what made it so great at Resident Evil 2.
Really? No, yeah. I thought 4 was the last good one.
Well, like, think of it this way. So, like, you go from a really tight, confined space where you literally anything could happen to, like, it's you're no the sense of danger is kind of muted, and the fear is like the absence of danger kind of thing. Okay. But all of a sudden, in two, you're in a post-apocalyptic world. So all of a sudden, danger's everywhere. So you're subconsciously always on alert.
Mm-hmm. Well, three was in the same kind of time frame as two.
Right.
So, and then four was later on, but you were isolated in like a very faraway place, and it was in rural Spain. And I thought that was a really great setup. Because they originally, for Resident Evil 4, they had set up to do the tank controls like Resident Evil 2 and 3. I think part of the reason that 2 and 3 worked so well is because you felt confined because of the way the
camera angles.
The camera angles and the controls. Yeah. But then once it opened up, they did that over the shoulder thing, which is really the kind of revolution as far as game mechanics go, the over-the-shoulder tactical shooter thing that kind of opened that world up. So even though you had more freedom of movement, they still had the ambiance in 4, but then once they got into 5 and 6, they kind of lost it, and they kind of went off into these, like, kind of corporate espionage, like, tactical shooter, like, corporation trying to take over the world kind of thing. Instead of just like, mm-hmm. okay, there's some really scary monsters, and I'm in this town or in this mansion, and I know what the fuck's going on.
And I think that's why it's going to work so well in this newest incarnation with the VR.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's limiting your point of view.
Narrowing the perspective.
And so now anything could happen again.
And the subject matter has been scaled back. It's more personal. It's more intimate. It's not like this big, like, world domination thing. It's like, I'm in a mansion, and there are zombies here, and there's a
bit
more mystery.
It doesn't
look
like it's going to take place in the same universe, even.
Maybe, we don't know. So
one of the newspapers mm-hmm. articles says, like, are there ghosts?
So, oh, wow. Like, so it could be ghost-based?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Instead of zombies? That could be very interesting. Because they called it, it's the subtitle's Biohazard. So they're kind of pulling a reversal on, because that's what Resident Evil is titled in Japan, is their subtitle's Biohazard.
But don't forget, in Japan, it's titled Biohazard.
Resident Evil.
Subtitled Resident Evil.
So they're swapping. So with the naming, they're trying to get back to the roots, too, which I find very fascinating.
Also very PT to use ghosts.
Yeah, exactly, right? Sounds like someone was, they're, you know, ripping somebody off.
You had mentioned before we went on air, was like that Konami had offloaded PT's, like, all that the mechanics to Capcom.
I think there was some sort of, like, I'm not
settlement
or something like that, because I know Kojima and Del Toro were supposed to work together on uh-huh. PT,
right?
And then they shut the project.
What is it called?
Silent Hills, and then Konami shut the project down. And then I think Capcom took some of the thematics and some of the, I don't know, I'm not sure if there's actual, like, product licensing that was transferred over or took place, but it's very similar. And I think they saw the response that the PT got, and then...
We gotta get on that shit.
So if it's like PT, I'm super stoked. Juan, PT was a trailer for a new Silent Hill game.
Frightening. Once again, another game that I didn't actually play the games as just a spectator. Like, you could thoroughly enjoy yourself just being in the room and being part of it.
You can just watch
if
it.
If you like being scared shitless.
Yeah.
I don't, but you did it anyway.
We did it anyway. So, yeah, Resident Evil 7, definitely looking forward to that, because it looks like a huge, like, paradigm shift from what has been coming forward from Capcom in that franchise. So, definitely looks good. What else is coming out, you guys?
We already talked about, like, PT. We might as well talk about Death Stranding.
Oh, Death Stranding. Yeah, let's go Kojima. Yeah. Kojima...
In fine Kojima form.
So this guy.
This fucking guy.
He
could shit on a computer, and I'd be like, yeah, I'll take a copy.
Yeah, it's just like, he's so...
Are you all done with that?
He's so fucking out there and full of himself, but he deserves it
because he delivers every fucking time.
So we got.
I can already hear Steven being like, "No, he doesn't."
Yeah. Steven's like, "No, you're wrong. My opinion's right."
He's listening right. In the future, but right now,
yeah,
like throwing shit at his like car dashboard.
He's like, no, fuck Kojima.
Did we just time travel right now?
We time travel all the time.
It was a meta time travel. It's happening now, but in the future.
Both. We're simultaneously now and in the future.
Yeah.
Talking to Steven and everybody else.
Hey,
isn't
Steven,
that great? Isn't that
I
great?
Don't know you, but you sound like a swell guy. And you have whiskey for me next time I see you.
Yep,
wow.
He does.
Wow.
He does.
There might be a hand jiggler for you in your future.
Oh, yeah.
Did you say a hand jiggler?
A hand
jiggler. Is that what the kids jiggler. Are calling it these okay. days?
A jello jiggler.
A jello jiggler. There's always room for jello.
There's always room for jello.
And a hand job.
And hand job.
Or a jowl jiggler.
Oh, that's a, no, that's a good one.
Does he want to put the pills in the drink?
Oh, too soon. He does, though.
Put some pills in the jello.
He does put the pill. Yeah, he does want to put the pills in the jello.
Or else it gets the hose again.
Or else. So, Death Stranding is the new title from Kojima, coming from Kojima Productions, his
I'm
own
kidding.
Company.
It gets the hose anyway.
So, Stranding Death, I don't even know, Kojima's really good at making words up.
Yeah, like, subset, what was, oh,
wait, was
shit,
it Stranding
on,
Death
it.
Or Death Stranding?
It's Death Stranding.
Okay.
So, I think that means that you're making strands out of death, because there's lots of little black tendrils in the promo, but it's got Norman Reedus, a.k.a. Daryl, from Walking Dead, starring. Uh-huh. We see him wake up on this kind of ethereal beach with a bunch of dead crabs and whales and dolphins. And there's all these handprints everywhere.
And the baby that's attached to him. Don't
and
forget
the
about
baby
that.
Baby is attached to him.
With a
with
USB
an,
cord?
With a USB cord?
Like well, no. It's like it was just a black umbilical cord. We'll
some
go
sort,
with that.
Yeah.
But he's wearing like a necklace of like USB dongles.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell those were. But then he looks down and the baby disappears. And then he's got these like a cross.
Like a cross C-section?
A scar where the baby was.
But
I don't know.
It's not really a C, is it? But it's a cross.
T-section, I guess.
I'm putting it out there that this is actually the sequel to Junior with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, my
then
God.
Then why are there like fucking USB flashers?
Because you don't know what happens when fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger like gives birth to a baby. The world comes unhinged.
Danny DeVito was in that movie, right?
Where's Danny DeVito?
No, that's twins.
Where's my baby?
No, yeah, that's twins.
He was also in it.
Was he
yeah.
also in?
It was Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger back together again in Junior.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, they just put Danny DeVito inside the USB port. Inside the USB dongle.
He is small
Shiggy
enough where
says you gotta
fit.
Find your baby.
Yep. They just shoved him in there. And then so he's missing the baby and like there's like these mysterious handprints appearing. Mm-hmm. And he looks up in the sky and there's these five beings.
Yeah,
beings
no, just, they look like just five monoliths.
They're like five
they're
people.
They look like mollusks, but you can clearly eventually make out them as like figures.
Yeah.
And that's like classic Kojima.
And they're just floating in the sky and then that's it. That's
it's
all
a
we got.
Stupendous
with,
shot.
With
though.
a good soundtrack behind it. With
oh,
a good
yeah.
track behind it.
I hate how he's like one of the best indie guys out there because he's an indie hipster because he always picks really good music and he's like, yeah, it's good before, you know,
you're
yeah.
an indie
before you
hipster,
got into it.
Though.
That's why I can say
I can smell them.
That's why
you
can identify
with him. Why
do you hate
him for being an indie hipster?
Because nobody ever wants to be a hipster.
You just
because if you
as
admit
one.
To it, you're no longer a hipster.
I guess so.
You will,
wow,
then.
That's
you just
really
deep.
It
to it.
Well,
they gotcha.
I'm ahead of the curve. I was a hipster before it was cool.
Nice. Wow. That's meta.
Are you just mad because you look like Hideo Kojima?
So
you would imagine I'm inside his mind, right?
So we didn't get any gameplay, just an amazing trailer. So
right.
And the emotion.
Oh
in,
yeah, the screen cap of his face.
Like
oh,
the,
yeah.
the mocap for like faces has come so far from fucking what was that movie?
Final Fantasy Spirits Within.
No.
Scorpion King.
No, Bobby.
Scorpion King.
Oh, Scorpion King. Fuck that. No, it was a Pandora. And they had the...
Avatar.
Avatar. Yeah, that's where actually a lot of the technology that you're using now came from.
Exactly, but then, you know, James Cameron's got five more of them coming out sometime in the next 10 years, so
ugh.
We'll get more of that stuff.
Where is that story going?
They already won.
They won.
Pocahontas won.
They got it. I mean, what are they going to do?
They drove away the white people.
You know, it was fine the way it was. It's gonna crash and burn. He's gonna just.
No, it's not. You know why? Because we live in a like, and we live in a universe now of franchise envy.
Yeah,
I don't want to have to think too much, Bob. I don't want to have to think too much. I want them to retell me the story they've already told me. Okay,
we've had this like discussion so many times, huh?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it's just spectacle over substance now. Substances. I'm trying to come up with, like, Kojima words. Like, revengerance.
Revengeance. No, you're right. Like, they tell you so much story that it just, they overcomplicate it, and then it just starts not making sense, and then you're just like, oh, whatever, I'm just going to watch the pretty colors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I like how we all grudgingly accept our fate and future. Yes.
Yes.
To mindless entertainment. The Lobster looks great. That's an original story. I have some faith.
True. Oh, with Clooney?
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell, yeah.
They're still giving him work?
Yeah, dude. He's still good. He's hella good.
Is he?
He is.
Have you seen him in Bruges?
I've not seen anything he's been in for the last 5 years.
What have you
seen? Because I didn't know he was still alive.
Colin Farrell. Daredevil?
Oh, where he was dead.
He was Bullseye.
Bullseye.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Bullseye, Deadshot, and the other one?
Negligible. What about speaking of
abortions? I don't know, man. That double movie should never come anywhere. It was awful.
It was not the best. It was not the best, but Ben Affleck. That's topic for the day.
Yeah, see, now you're gonna go down Ben Affleck, and he's just as bad as Colin Farrell. Exactly.
What?
I'm sorry. Did any of you like Daredevil? Did anybody see it? And like, you know what? I'm gonna remember this movie.
But Ben Affleck,
I got out of there and immediately started
actor and director.
That's true. He's gonna be doing Batman, the next one.
And I'm told that he was okay as actually Daredevil. Just the movie was.
It was
stinky.
Not written well. Mm. He tried. Speaking of manly bearded men, let's talk about God of War.
All right,
Fong.
And your favorite daddy.
My favorite daddy. So this one looks pretty good. It was like a 9-minute trailer, gameplay trailer.
Yeah.
Very minimalist as far as like what was on the screen. Like no HUD, no nothing. Just him and his son walking through the forest.
It was very odd because it had that Skyrim feel whenever you entered a new and you discovered a new place. It was like this
area discovered.
Yeah, very much like Skyrim. But I did like the whole aspect of like you are leveling up, but it's the son who's gaining knowledge, not Kratos, because he already knows how to do everything.
Yeah, he knows how to do all stuff. Yeah,
he fucking killed the God of War.
He's the one who's teaching his son how to do stuff. And from what I've seen of like some of the gameplay elsewhere, it seems as though like you will at some point be playing as the son, because when you level up and do combos, like it's for the son. So it's like a passing of the torch, handing over
the power to the son.
So
kind of?
I'm not sure if like you basically use him as a weapon. And
you pick him up,
start bashing the trolls
but,
in
like,
him.
You do combos with him or some shit.
No, it makes sense because it seems like they're going to change like the list of gods that he's supposed to be fighting, because they're supposed to be like Nordic gods now, right?
And yeah,
right.
So
they can't
all
use Kronos within that storyline. So like transitioning to his son seems very feasible.
What if the son becomes Thor and Kronos is
Odin?
Forever like revered as Odin?
Well, because so he had the axe right in the trailer, which was like icy powered, and it was like come back to him. It was kind of like Thor, like Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
So we've got kind of a corollary going there. So that's the interesting workaround, because what if the son will inherit the axe and become some sort of like, I don't know.
Did you guys ever like the story for God of War? I never really followed along. I mean, is it worth looking?
It's good.
Yeah. It was good gameplay for me.
It's a lot of fun. It's got character action. It's really fast paced. It's he just goes around just killing gods. He's a god killer. He's got a little, you know how the Greek mythology is all
all gods,
incestuous and nefarious, and a lot of like drama and politics playing around.
So a lot of fun is what you're saying.
A lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I had a good time with it. Three
incest.
No.
Oh.
No.
What?
Yes.
Anyway, so the game...
Hashtag tasty.
Thank you, brother, for that one. So we were guiding Kratos along, and he's taking his son out to hunt a deer, and he's trying to teach his son the deer, and the son just keeps fucking up.
Like three times in a row, within that 9 minutes span. It's like, come on, man. Like,
misses the deer.
You're going to grow up to be a disappointment. I can already tell.
Already, daddy issues established. Because, like, you can already tell he knows that Kratos disappointed him because he misses the deer. He accidentally shoots his father in the shoulder and then freaking can't step up and kill the deer.
Once he's already shot him with the arrow.
After they fight the troll.
I like that. From a storytelling point of view, that sets really fertile ground for character development. Mm-hmm. And I thought it felt really real.
Yeah.
And like,
especially the part where he chooses not to give him the patent back, and he's like,
"Yep,
yeah." But this is like,
you didn't deserve it. You didn't
earn
it.
You suck.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't. I think it's more so that he's just been hard for so long, and to be gentle, not gentle. What the hell is the word I'm looking for? Like,
compassionate.
Affectionate with his son.
Yeah,
it's so foreign to him, and he's like, I got to make you into a man because something's coming. And
a big fucking dragon,
apparently. You have to fucking earn this shit. And yeah. It's like, it's a real interesting character moment.
It is, because like, he wants to be a fact. You can tell like, he wants to, but it's like, no, I can't. For your own good, I can't be.
Well, yeah, something else I heard about the game, though, is that keep in mind, he used to have a daughter, then his wife died. So you don't know where this kid came from, who the mother is.
That's true. I was kind of asking myself the same thing, too. It's like, they don't have any shots with the mom, and it's like, wait, where...
And he mentions the mom.
Where'd you meet the mom?
A mom.
That's true. He said, here's your mother's knife. Yeah.
Yeah,
hand it to her.
Yeah. And so a friend of mine was telling me that there's kind of this question of, because he reproduced after all the events of God of War 1 and
he's
all
mortal
that
again?
Junk. No. Oh. But it's like, he doesn't know what his son is. Like, is his son part God? And
has he endowed him with any kind of powers?
And he's kind of concerned that, you know, the Spartan rage is attached to being a god, and that his son will just become this bloodlust monster.
But it's an interesting coming-of-age story. Like, you have all of these, like, you have, like, real things that are
real
sitting
family
on the line.
Issues, yeah.
Yeah, it's sitting on the line.
And finally, bring up a good point about that Spartan rage, because we get it immediately in the gameplay
trailer.
Right,
yeah.
So, like...
But as you can see, like, he's hesitant about killing or hurting anything.
Yeah. So he doesn't have that bloodlust in him.
I know. He shot his dad in the shoulder pretty good.
Oh, man. So, yeah, definitely amazing-looking gameplay, amazing graphics. Really looking forward to that one coming out. We're not shooting at the date on that one, but stylistically also very Nordic, very, you know, Norse mythology. So that's looking real good.
And it should be a massive improvement from 3, because it's not good when you can beat a game in one day. It's just not good.
Yeah, you were telling us about how just it was just right. So simple for you. Yeah. So yeah, this looks a little more immersive, a little more creative. We might get probably a lot more longer gameplay out of this one. Another game I wanted to bring up, I don't know if any of you guys have played Beyond Two Souls or any of the David Cage games where it's the morality games.
Nope. I would not do well.
We gotta get you on one of these morality games when we do some.
I don't
games.
Do morals. I have a moral.
You have one moral.
Or technically amoral.
That too.
With none.
But Quantic Dream, which is David Cage production. I just wanted to say, we've been hyping a bunch of stuff up. I just gotta drop one that I'm not looking forward to. Huh. Is David Cage is a really kind of pedantic, and like, he's Kojima if Kojima couldn't live up to all his shit.
I see.
And, or it's like, he sounds awfully preachy.
Yeah. So there's one coming out called Detroit Become Human. And it's about an android in Detroit that is already total RoboCop ripoff. An android in Detroit who's a police officer and like a negotiator. Uh-huh. And he has to kind of... Basically, operate his way through a mystery in future Detroit. And it's the same shit that David Cage has been churning out for years.
RoboCop?
It's basically RoboCop.
I hope they low-jack the robot because he's going to get robbed.
The trailer looks great. I mean, graphically, there's nothing anything wrong with gameplay from the David Cage's gameplay. Visually, it's just... he gives you the illusion of choice and then forces you to have a story that he wants to tell anyway, and it's always a big letdown. So they made a big hype about this, and I just, guys, you know, if you've played Indigo Prophecy, if you've played Beyond Two Souls, if you've played Heavy Rain, you know what you're going to get.
Oh, that's him? Mm-hmm. So that's, are we getting, here's my question. What happened to all the Ellen Page games that were great? Like, what was the one?
Well, Ellen Page was in Beyond Two Souls.
I know, but what's the one who looks like Ellen Page?
Oh,
which game was that? With
the zombie game?
Yeah.
No, it's the mushroom zombies.
Something like us. How do I forget this shit?
Last of Us.
Yes. Last of Us.
So actually, there was a game trailer that I forgot to show you guys. It's called Days Gone. And it's supposed to be the spiritual successor to that one.
They're actually making a sequel, is what I've read.
Oh, to
Last of Us. Some of Us. That sounds like a coming of age teen movie.
The next one is called All of Us.
All of Us. I have a friend that works at Naughty Dog. Actually, I would ask, but she won't tell me anything.
Well, yeah.
Well, you you're gonna have to give her
like Bob
because they would kill her.
You're going to have to give her an incentive to tell her.
Might I suggest the hand jibbler?
Oh, for the ladies, they love the hand jibblers.
Hashtag tasty.
You should warp to her butt.
Do a little BR action. No, the Days Gone is post-apocalyptic, but survival game. We're not sure exactly what the conditions are, but it looked... That's another one that I was like... I was hyped about at first, but it was so like... Last of Us that I was almost like, oh, they're just copying it. It feels very much the same.
And do we get an Ellen Page-like character?
No, it's just a dude right now.
Well, then I don't want to play
He's
this
on a motorbike.
It's not worth it.
He's on a motorbike.
If I can't have quirky, like, sassy teenage girl Ellen Page, there's no point.
That is very creepy. You said if you basically just said, if there's no teenage girl in it, then I don't
Then I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it the same for you guys? No.
Also, the Ellen Page character is like 13 in the game.
But yeah. She's so sassy.
That does not hold up in a court of law.
It does in Alabama.
But
so.
But first, you have to prove it. You have to prove it. What do you have to prove?
She brought her wine coolers.
What?
Days Gone, so I don't know. I'm tentative about that one. We'll see what happens with that. But it's supposed to be like a Last of Us spiritual successor. May want to check it out. May not want to. It's up to you guys.
So expect disappointment. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. They didn't give us too much from it. There's a whole host of other games coming out. I just want to make a quick list before we get into the final round of the games that we want to talk about. ReCore on Xbox, third-person action game, kind of a modular build your robot and your character up and then kind of shoot around. Look kind of fun, kind of like Splatoon. Came out for Nintendo.
Oh, okay.
But with little mechanics and stuff like that. Looks kind of fun. There was also... one thing I wanted to talk about was... Oh, crap. What was it? Buffering. Well, let's just get into the last games. The ReCore was definitely one I wanted to bring up, but the only thing I wanted to talk about was Legend of Zelda. Was there anything else you guys wanted to hit?
No, I think that was it.
Sony killed it is all I really can tell.
Sony killed it. No, I was looking at polls online, like Sony won.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot regarding the VR. Not only Bridge Crew looks great, but what looks even greater is the Star Wars, like... Pilot a starfighter. You can get into your X-wing and fucking dogfight
VR. I mean, that's gonna be nice. It's gonna be like those old TIE fighter games, like TIE Fighter, Rebel Assault. Remember, like playing those on like the '90s computer games?
Oh yeah,
that shit was tight.
But just immersive. Like if they could do a TIE fighter VR, like I'm in.
Done.
I'm in.
Done.
I'm done. I really hope that the VR. Like, what do you? What would you guys pay for VR? Right now.
Right now.
Oh, Star Citizen, 100%.
Like, well, I'm saying
price wise,
as far as price, because like we've got like Final Fantasy and a lot of the other like these VR Star Trek Bridge Crew. The Star Wars game. Like these are all awesome titles that look really immersive. Like, so you have to buy the new consoles, and then you have to buy the headset and everything like that. And that's That's running pretty pricey. I think I might have to wait.
5 to 8, I would say.
Yeah, and that's a lot. That's a huge investment. Do you think
I just wait for Ivan to get it, and then I come over.
What makes you think I'm going to get it?
Well, why wouldn't you get it?
Well, with Star Trek and Final Fantasy on the line, like, I may have to just get it.
Yeah. Never mind. I'm going to Bobby's house.
Just so
sorry,
we can,
Ivan.
Just so we can play it on the and then share it with people on the cast and on the channel. www.youtube.com/nerdfunnel #tasty.
No, don't do that. That's gonna mess up the URL.
Yeah, don't add #tasty.
You're just gonna see a big picture of Jorge.
But we're gonna be getting like ridiculous Star Wars stuff for years now. Like they have the new Star Wars Lego Episode 7.
Nice.
Coming. Ugh. It's gonna be. I like.
Who cares?
What? I like the Lego. Ugh. The Lego ones are cute.
Come on.
Ugh.
Give it up for a Lego. A little clickety clack brick action.
When it comes to the video games, everything is not always awesome. It's awesome.
Everything
not.
Is awesome. They pushed that back. They pushed that movie back.
I heard about that today.
Yeah, they pushed it way back.
That is terrible because the first one was actually
it was
fucking
super
great.
Good. It was a great movie, yeah.
Well, if they're pushing it back to make it better, then I'm all for that.
Is Pratt on board? I'm Bird?
Yeah, of course he is. Speaking of pushing things back, they did push back the release of the NX console for Nintendo as well.
Oh.
Just a little bit. And it's supposed to be as powerful as the next Sony console, but I think the Xbox is supposed to be more powerful than the other two. Again, the specs are not all out on that. Does anybody else want to bring up any other games?
You mean other than Legend of Zelda?
So we got to finish with that one because I have to gush.
Well, I'm still.
Bobby's like ready to tear his shirt off.
I'm ready. Like, I'm about to go Hulk status. About
I can
to go
see it in
here.
Your eye.
I'm still waiting on Cuphead from last E3.
Which one?
Cuphead.
What's that one?
It's, oh my god, you don't know? It's amazing. Okay, so it's like Cuphead is a character from like pretty much this kind of Walt Disney-ish type cartoon company, and you get to play as him in that universe.
Okay.
And everything's hand-drawn. And
oh,
so
wow.
It looks like you're playing a 1920s, 1930s cartoon.
Oh, that's super
what?
Cool.
Yeah.
And this was advertised last year, and they haven't put it out yet?
Yeah.
Do you know what studio it is?
I don't remember. I'll have to check. But the last I heard, a friend of mine got to play it at some convention later on in the year, and he said it was still a little buggy, so maybe they're still working.
Well, like, I imagine with the hand-drawn animations, it would be tough to hammer that all out. But it would probably be worth the wait. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Like, are we talking like Steamboat Willie style?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Like, if you look up Cuphead after this, it's really awesome.
Steam Willie style is all in it. Getting jiggy with it. Na 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 na. Sorry.
Weren't you excited about...
Persona 5.
Oh, I was thinking of Heaven or Hell, Let's Rock.
Oh, Heaven or Hell. Oh, the Guilty Gear XRD. So Juan and I go way back with Guilty Gear.
That's my jam right
and
there.
And Jorge.
That's my jam.
So I'm not a huge fighting gamer, but when it comes time to throw down with Juan... With Guilty Gear, that was our jam. So they're releasing a new one of those. Would you take a look at the trailer? What'd you think? Was it too anime, too over the top anime, or was it still pretty good?
No, I mean for games like that, the animation isn't usually my concern. It's usually the way the game plays,
yeah,
and the way that you're able to stream like combos mm-hmm. and basically move through characters. It's always been like what I do because I usually go through as many characters as I possibly can before like. You know, sticking to one.
Settling on one.
Where Hori, he'll just, like, play the hardest player there is to play, and he'll just wreck you.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Jorge, a frequent guest on the cast, he's the Borg when it comes to fighting games. He will lose once, and he will learn all of your tactics in that loss, and then you will never win again. Resistance is futile.
He
assimilates. He adapts.
He has really good, like, hand muscle memory. I mean, extremely good muscle memory.
It's fantastic.
What?
Unless you're fighting him, then it's
bad.
Does between brother, is there like, is there a tight competition?
There are certain games. So some like Perfect Dark,
GoldenEye.
Like I could hold my own.
Okay.
But for like fighting games, and that's any fighting games.
Soul Calibur.
Yeah. Guilty
Gear.
He's just
Mortal Kombat.
Really, really good at adapting. Like.
He reads people really well.
To you, because we all have a tendency to get stuck on specific moves. where he'll counter everything you do it before you do it, and so
he's almost like a precog. Like, he knows what's coming and he just goes after you.
Hmm.
Looked good.
It looked really good.
It looked like a bunch of new characters.
It had like kind of a 3.5D kind of like angled look to it. More rounded character.
Like cel-shaded kind
of. Like cel-shaded but more rounded, like more a little 3D-ish. It looked really cool. The character list roster looks real big. Your guy was Kisuke, right? Or was it Soul?
It was Soul.
Yeah, Soul.
Until Horia started beating me with him, and then I started crying, and then I had to change
something else. Then to beat us out. My character was Aino because it's a witch with a guitar, which is just the baddest ass thing ever. But I never had much of a chance against Horde. My thumbs would blister over before I had a real good fighting chance.
Yeah,
like it was just terrible.
It's a good game.
It's a good game,
And it's on PS3. So
yeah, it's on PS3, and then it'll be on PS4 as well.
I gotta ask, like, what is the best game that you can own your brother at?
I would say Perfect Dark. And it wasn't like I ever owned him. It just like we split pretty close down the middle.
He could hold it. I mean, it was a token draw.
I don't know if you remember Perfect Dark, but you were able to like adjust your character. So we would play the alien bodies with the smallest heads we could find to make it even of a harder of a shot for us, like playing around. And we could still catch you. Like if you jumped off the bridge, we would catch you mid drop. And put one right between your eyes. We got to the point where we were that good. And when you're playing with people that are that good, and there was four of us. You played it. Max played it.
Yep.
I
just camped out with the far side and just was a cheap bastard until they got taken out.
Were friendships on the line a lot of the times?
Blood was drawn.
Was this like Mario Kart for you guys?
Oh, Mario Kart too. See.
Yeah, that was.
I could definitely school Jorge on some Mario Kart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, racing was different.
But that's because we would learn all the glitches, and believe it or not, there's a ton of glitches, especially for
64. Yeah. Oh yeah, and Smash Brothers too.
Yeah, if you played as Bowser or Donkey Kong, like they are the fastest like characters in the game, and you wouldn't even have to use the feather or some of these other things to like jump over things. You would just have enough momentum to just jump over things.
Oh, just, wow. Yeah, you could just. You could just force it over. You don't have to use any items. But yeah, the Guilty Gear coming out. Also, along the anime line, just want to hype Persona 5. I love Persona 4 and 3. So that Persona.
You mean the dating aspect?
Just all the aspects. I mean, Persona 5 is a kind of a RPG, but also kind of like a real life simulator. That is very, very oddly styled. Story looks great. I'm super hyped. Persona 4 story was awesome. So we got a little bit more hints as far as the storyline. The art looks fantastic. So two really great art styles going on in Guilty Gear and Persona 5. And so both looking forward to those as well. So yeah, definitely check out Persona 5. What else?
You know what you want to get to.
You're itching.
You know,
I see
you know
it
what
in
you
your eyes.
Want to get to.
I know.
Like,
all right.
I'm looking at Bobby's arms, and they're starting to flex real hard.
Twitch.
Getting real vascular over here.
Oh, man. So, if we may, let's talk about the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild trailer. For those of you who don't know, I'm a huge Zelda fan.
Really?
Really?
He's got the ink to prove it.
Really?
Yeah, on my shoulder. I have a Triforce. You didn't see?
Oh,
yeah.
No, I've never seen it. Oh,
what? Yeah, right there. On my 23rd birthday. So this game looks amazing. And like we were discussing earlier, Juan, about like open world, it's more like the open world sandboxy thing. It's not directive. So more of the more recent Zeldas have been criticized for being more linear. Directive and linear, especially with annoying characters like Fi, who was your sword spirit, and Minda actually had personality, but you're always directed somewhere. You always had somebody in your ear going, hey, listen, go do this, go do that.
I don't want to play a game like that.
Yeah, exactly. So they really took time to listen to, I think, what fans were wanting out of a Zelda game.
They took the time to, hey, listen.
To hate. Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's perfect, Fog. Perfect. Yep, they took their own personal pulled a Navi and, hey, listened. Good one.
God.
And then
our listeners are like, stupid.
No, I thought that was a great joke.
That's the best. That's the best
I'm just
joke.
Getting like flashbacks of being called Navi all the time.
Why do they call you Navi?
Because it's Ivan spelled backwards.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Oh, now
you just, don't you dare.
You just
you
brought
bastard.
That into my world,
you
man.
Bastards.
Say it. Just, say it, Bob.
I love you, Navi.
I'm going to. Don't call me midriff.
Okay. Well, if it's,
can
yeah.
we actually change that to my. I'd rather have that.
You'd rather have midriff than Navi?
No, I'd rather have Navi than midriff.
We can change it. That's fine. We still get to change your bio.
No, I don't no bio. Kill children.
I know, right? go check out our XCOM playthrough and you'll understand what that's all about.
I just hunt for ones that look like Ellen Page.
And then kill them?
No. We'll continue.
So this Breath of the Wild trailer, very minimalist. So the style is like the kind of the gravitas weight story wise of Twilight Princess mixed with the kind of cell shaded, rich, saturated aspect art style of Skyward Sword, and then the open world, non directive kind of exploratory mysteriousness that was from the first game. Because in the first game, it was 8-bit pixels, and you just got a screen, and like, okay, what the hell do I do? I just got to wander. I got to figure this out. There's nobody here telling me what to do.
No hand holding.
There's no hand holding. You just like, here's your world. You wake up. You walk out, you get a little mysterious kind of tablet that's like kind of like Magitek-ish, and you walk out and you find...
Which mysteriously ends up looking like your controller.
A little bit, yeah. And you walk out and then there's this boom, Temple of Time all eroded over, this mysterious world, like everything. And then you just go out and he just explores. He has a variety of tools, a variety of activities he can do that's not just hacking and slashing through grass.
I like that. They give you a bunch of stuff and expect you to go and get into it.
Yeah, and he's climbing around. He looks at one point he's got an axe, and I actually watched some of the actual additional gameplay that they did at the E3, and it's they're very much in tune with the first Zelda, where the first screen of the very first 8-bit Zelda, you walk out and there's an old man in a cave with a sword. In this game, you walk out of the cave. And there's an old man camping by, and he talks to you for a bit, and he tells you, like, oh, this place is old. And that's all you get. And then he walks around, and you find a sword stuck in this lake, and it's like a rusty old sword, and you think, oh, maybe it's special, but then you use it for a while, and it breaks. And there's this, like...
I think gamers actually appreciate that more than hand-holding, because Doom, like, against all odds, the Doom 2016... super huge hit for the single player. Mm-hmm. And, like, they don't tell you shit. They just say go.
No, just go and explore. Just be Link. You don't have to have anybody tell you how to be and how to do. You just go out and figure it out on your own. I really like that. Also, surprisingly enough, they had a nice music playing in the 3-minute trailer, but at the actual gameplay, there's no music. It's all ambient sound effects, and there's there's subtle hints of music, like in the wind, and when you rustle through, like there's like little chimes and piano, but there's no dun 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 dun. There's no like epic march yet. We don't know, so it's very interesting.
So I could play the game and take a nap at the same time,
pretty much. You know what? Some of the best games are games that you can do that where you just turn it on and you can just enjoy the ambiance of the game. You don't have to play it. Like Xenoblade Chronicles is like that, Secret of Mana is like that, Chrono Trigger, like where you can just let them run, and I don't know, that's just me maybe, but some of the best games are the ones where they kind of play themselves and you just kind of are with it for a ride you make together instead of like the game, like it's not like a back and forth, it's kind of like you go through it together. Mm-hmm.
But if there's no music...
Kind of like Journey.
If there's no music, how am I going to calm my horse over with a great ocarina tune?
I'm sure there'll be musical elements eventually because, I mean, it wouldn't be Zelda without music. There's always some type of music thing. There's like, you know, the ocarina, the Wind Waker, he's got the baton, he's directing the wind. He's got the whistle in Twilight Princess. You know, there's always some type of element there. But this game looks amazing. I can't wait to get lost in this world. It looks... There's no... It looks... super like open like Final Fantasy 15 where it's just like super scaled up and there's no real breaks and sections and things aren't, it's just like here's the world, just go play.
Now, is this going to be on a new console?
So it's going to be on the Wii U next year, and it's going to be on the NX when they release it as well. So the NX will probably run it a little better at frame rate, and there'll probably be some additional content, I'm sure. Some more whatever type of add-on they have. I'm sure that the tablet device that they revealed in the trailer will have some sort of tie-in device with the NX. But as for the release, it's supposed to come out because they had people playing it at the show on the Wii U. So it should be out next year.
I mean, that's one thing I noticed about everything that we saw earlier today is that the graphics on them are just amazing. The video cards, and like how much space and RAM like all this like equipment's going to need is going to be ridiculous.
Everything is getting better and faster and stronger, right?
That sounds better, like a Death faster, Punk song.
Stronger. Yeah, right? I know. What did you guys think? Like, I've thought about this to death. What did you guys think about the trailer?
I'm really excited about the gameplay more than anything else that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it looks like it's opening it up to like to just real inventive gameplay, like where like you do like you put two items together and you do some wacky shit, kind of like how in the old ones they would do that, but like. I feel like gamers are really starting to re-embrace that with, like, Minecraft. Not just starting to, maybe for a while now, but what was the other one? And, like, people love doing, like, just inventive and shit. God damn it.
Look, I have people telling
but
me
like,
what to do
like
all
GTA
day.
But, like, with, like, GTA 5, you know?
I don't want a video game to be telling me what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go out there and have fucking fun.
What is that video game where, like, you draw something and you play as that thing? It's called Graffiti something or other.
Are you talking about Scribblenauts?
No.
I was thinking about Kami.
No, like, you drew something and then that thing became your avatar.
Oh,
like,
cool.
You walked around as it and you battled with it and all that junk.
No, I haven't played that one. I was thinking of Scribblenauts. It's kind of similar, but... was this a more direct way to do that?
Because
Scribblenauts, you kind of have to like go through a bunch of menus and stuff like that.
This is just you draw it and then you're that.
And you're it, huh? Wow.
And this was like, I think for PlayStation 1, mm-hmm. maybe.
Okay. Wow. I have to look into that. I don't know what that one is.
I just love like this whole like resourceful element mm-hmm. of like, here's some toys, play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's better. Like, okay, well, here's the world. Here are some of the rules. We're not going to give you all the rules. You have to find out some of the rules,
uh-huh.
but we're not going to tell you like where to go or how to do it. Just go figure it out. Like, respect the intelligence of the gamer enough that we know like how to figure things out. I would say,
or come up with our own answers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good point. Good point.
For sure.
So yeah, it looks beautiful. Sounds beautiful. Hopefully it'll play beautiful, and that freedom of gameplay will really translate into an amazing experience. And of course, with a Zelda game, of course we're going to get lore and mythos, and we're going to find out what happens and what period of time we're in and where on the timeline we are.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Like, fans are starting to plot out where it might be on the timeline, and that...
That's a tough call.
This is something that I didn't know, that there's like... three different continuums.
Yeah, so
four or whatever.
After Ocarina of Time, the timeline splits into three. And so each of the games that are released sometimes will be on one timeline, sometimes will be on another. Just depends on what they feel like making. So,
like, give me a quick rundown.
So after Ocarina, you've got the... So at the end of Ocarina, there's Child Link goes back in time.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of his time travel shenanigans, basically. You have a future where he goes back in time and is a child and grows up. You have a future where he stays in the future as an adult. And you have a future where he loses and then he Ganon wins. And so there's three offshoots that come out of that time, of that time jumping. The original, or like, did you ever play Wind Waker, the cel shaded one on GameCube?
Let's just assume I haven't played anything since Ocarina of Time.
Okay, so like Wind Waker comes out of the one where Ganon wins, and the people have to, basically, the gods flood the world, and because Ganon wins, and they bury Ganon and Hyrule underneath the water. That's why the Wind Waker doesn't take place in Hyrule, well, for most of the game. And then you've got the one where the hero disappears because he goes back in time and is a kid. So then things go bad, and you get the Twilight Princess, and you get the kind of darker toned games. And then actually the original games, Legend of Zelda and then Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, and those come at the very end of the child era timeline. So I have actually a book, and you can look up Legend of Zelda Hyrule Historia, and it'll have the timelines and all plotted out there, and they're divided up in different eras. It's very complex, but from what I can tell, to answer your original question, the Temple of Time is eroded. It's all old looking, and then the closing shot of the Master Sword, that looks eroded as well. So I'm willing to bet it's going to be the game is going to be probably in the Adult Link timeline, but don't quote me on that. So we'll see. I don't have any clues yet.
Got it.
And how do y'all feel about Link definitively being a man? Because there was some uproar on the internet about that.
Well, I mean, so there was some controversy that came out earlier this year because they had Legend of Zelda Hyrule Warriors, the Dynasty Warriors clone that was skinned over with, like, Zelda characters.
Oh, okay.
They released a downloadable character you could fight with that was called Linkle, who was like a female Link. She used like crossbows and knives and stuff. Why isn't there a female Link? And if you notice over the course of the years, Link's character art has gotten more and more androgynous.
Right.
So at the very first character art of him in like the little, what do you call it? Inserts in the little video game boxes, and there were Nintendo Power, and that were on cartoons and stuff like that, and very much male, right? Mm-hmm. And even the cartoon that was on TV, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, princess, right? But as it's gone on, he's, you know, his hair's gotten longer, his features have gotten more effeminate, he's gotten it's like a softer face, he's wearing earrings, like Skyward Sword, like an earring is an actual item you can get to reduce fire damage. So like he's gotten, you know, more androgynous features.
But fans seem to be up in arms that the people running the game really have the audacity to declare him male. How do you feel about that?
If you go make a video game and you make the character whatever the hell you want.
It's like saying, like asking Shigeru Miyamoto, like, well, why isn't Mario female?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the character is a boy. I mean, that's the hero of time. That's what the character is. I mean, they can make him look however they want, but I mean, that's why he was created as a male. And I think one of the reasons they're like, oh, why isn't he female, is because he's reborn. He's reincarnated. Like, he's the hero of time. So, you know, every generation sees a new hero of time, and so does it always have to be male, right?
Oh, I see. Okay.
And Zelda's always female, right? So why isn't there a Legend of Zelda where...
Is there always a Zelda?
There's always a Zelda. Well, so Ganon, Zelda, and Link are incarnations of the Triforce over and over and over again. Power, wisdom, and courage, balancing each other out till the end of time. So they are representations, they're emanations of the Triforce. So Ganon has the Triforce of Power, Zelda usually is associated with wisdom, and Link is associated with the Triforce of Courage. But Ganon is always male, because actually in Ocarina his race was established as Gerudo, and he's the male Gerudo that was born every like 1,000 years. Because his race is female, all females, except there's one born every like 100 years or 1,000 years.
Huh.
Zelda's a princess. She's always been female. And then Link's always been a boy, right? Of varying ages. His age is not static either. It changes. So I'm saying that, you know, I would have nothing against them doing something female if they wanted to swap it out. But
maybe they should call it Link and then have Zelda be the main character.
maybe. I mean, that would be kind of a cool take. But I don't think that... I mean, they created the character of Link, and the character of Link has been male. So, I mean, if the game gave you a good reason to change it, like a lot of times Zelda games work with dichotomies, like Light World, Dark World, Oracle of Seasons, Oracle of Ages, Twilight and Normal World, Sky and Ground. Like, they work on dichotomies. So if there was a game where they went kind of Ranma one half with it and they changed his gender and that allowed for interesting gameplay, then maybe I'd be for it. If it facilitates the gameplay. Because you got to remember, Shigeru Miyamoto's repeated this a lot, is that it comes back to the gameplay. It's like about playing a game, right?
Right.
It's like how you enjoy the game. So if they could find a way to make it interesting where it serviced the gameplay, where it became like a way to like advance the plot and the story through gameplay, where he would switch genders or be gender swapped or have the ability to change back and forth or just be female.
Is there an actual cohesive like response to why people have an issue with it, or are they like, we're just pissed and we don't have a good reason why?
It's like overly sensitized Tumblr generation of like, well, it should be. I mean, why not?
I feel like it's more reactionary because when you sit back, think about it, it's like, well, how would being female service the story and the gameplay?
Right, and let's keep in mind with Miyamoto and Super Mario, they have mustaches because back then they were 8-bit, and that's how he could differentiate from their head and their neck.
Good point. Yeah, see the
also that denoted their virulence.
Seriously, right?
So, I don't know.
Why do you think there are pipes everywhere?
Lane pipe.
Oh, lane pipe. Standing in for something. Big and green, baby. Big and green. Big green.
I'm a Mario. I'm going to win.
And that's why you go around jumping on mushroom shaped as you're stamping out the competition of penises.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, wow. Right, right.
Goombas.
Those Goombas are very frosty looking.
Yeah, I mean they're all mushroom shaped, right?
But yeah,
that's Darwinism in action. This is the like fucking Mario is a Darwin simulator.
Darwin.
Hi, I'm penis.
I'm gonna stamp out the smaller penises,
which is why he goes to every. He hits the castle, and then at the end, the mushroom says, "Sorry, she's not here," and he. The journey continues.
And
so he goes and hits another castle, a.k.a. sexual fitness.
Yep, and then the mushroom makes him bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, of course it does.
Increases the size.
He just sees...
Because he takes the mushroom?
No, that means he's gay, because mushrooms make him bigger.
But don't mushrooms make you bigger?
Yeah, if they're magic mushrooms, they make everything bigger.
Or smaller.
Mushrooms make me bigger. Are we still talking about penises?
I don't know.
He touches a flower and then he shoots fireballs out of his hands too, so yeah. I mean
That's not Darwinism,
that's evolution, baby.
That's evolution, baby.
That's Darwinism shit.
So yeah, we're looking forward to Zelda. That was probably my like large takeaway from E3 this year.
And if you're gonna be pissed off about the gender of a character, keep it to yourself, or maybe complain about a shitty video game. That'd be time better spent.
Well, I just think if you're gonna complain about it, you have a good reason, not just because like, you know,
not just because why not?
Because why not?
Well, because that is the
that seems to be the predominating reason. I'm like, well. Okay, yeah, great. No, I'm fine for that, but why? 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 Give me a reason.
Right.
Does it facilitate gameplay? Does it have a plot?
Interesting story choice?
Thing? Yeah, then fine. Yeah, sure. Okay, but...
Burden of proof is on you.
It's on you. So let us know, speaking of which, being on you, listeners, what you liked and did not like about E3 this year.
Hit us up on Facebook.com/NerdFunnel.
Or on YouTube.com/NerdFunnel. Or on Twitter. And
or the old faithful nerdfunnel.com.
Or on the old faithful nerdfunnel.com and drop us a line in the comments. But until next time, you've been nerdfunneled.
Mushrooms.